It's time once again for the Rose Chat Podcast, your source of inspiration and motivation to achieve the rose garden of your dreams. Join award-winning gardeners Chris Van Cleve and Teresa Byington as they explore the world of roses and chat with the world's top rose experts, authors, artists, curators, and more.
Tonight, we're re-airing our conversation with Dr. Steve George of the Earth Kind Roses program at Texas A&M University. Now, Earth Kind Roses are a special group of roses that have really stood the test of time as well as rigorous field trials. Now, Earth Kind Roses do very well in a variety of different soils, and once established, these cultivars have excellent heat and drought tolerance. I'm growing several varieties of Earth Kind Roses in my own garden, and I know you'll enjoy this conversation with Dr. Steve George.
Try Haven Brand Soil Conditioners, providing generations of gardeners with a truly all-natural alternative to chemical fertilizers, with their line of composted manure and alfalfa teas. Easy to brew and use on all indoor and outdoor plants. Find them online at manuretea.com.
George is a professor and extension horticulturalist at Texas A&M University at the Research and Extension Center there in Dallas. And since 1988, Dr. George has served as the landscape horticultural specialist at Texas A&M and has created and serves as the national coordinator for the Earth Kind Environmental Landscape Management Program. Again, before we begin bring on our guests, I want to remind our listeners, if you've got questions for today's guest, I want to encourage you to go ahead and call in area code 347-677-1870.
Well, good morning, Steve, and welcome to Rose Chat.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
You know, so many gardeners give up on growing roses, or they simply never begin because they assume that roses are hard to grow. Do you think your Earth Kind Roses can change their mind?
Well, I certainly I hope so. I think there are only two kinds of people on Earth, those that can successfully grow roses now and those that wish they could grow roses. And I truly love roses, and you're exactly right. So many people have heard that roses are chemically dependent, and they're very demanding to grow. And in many areas, that is true of modern hybrid teas. But Earth Kind Roses focus on landscape roses. They are incredibly easy to grow, and we take great joy in the fact that everyone, from children on up, can be highly successful with Earth Kind Roses if they follow our very simple growing tips. So it's opened up the world of roses to so many people, and probably one of the best ways to describe Earth Kind Roses is that they are beautiful roses for busy people.
That's great. Can you give our listeners some background on how the program got started?
Sure. The public has shared with us many, many, many times that what they want are beautiful plants that are as foolproof and easy to grow as possible. They don't want to have to spray pesticides or fertilize if it's not necessary. But they want the plants to really work. They're busy. They have lots of other responsibilities. And they would like to be able to do it in an environmentally responsible way. So that was a whole impetus for the Earth Kind program. And Earth Kind is a registered trademark of Texas A&M AgriLife Extension. And everyone loves the name. And it was my beautiful bride of 42 years. That came up with the name Earth Kind. So everyone loves the name she came up with. But I'm delighted to tell your listeners that after years and years of testing, I'm the person that has to make the final call as to whether a rose is good enough to be Earth Kind. And Earth Kind is the highest, in my opinion, the highest plant designation that A&M can bestow. We have to have 8 to 10 years of research and field trial data before I will even start to make that call. But in all of our testing, we never apply any pesticides at all, zero, to the plant.
Mm.
We don't fertilize, and we once they're established, we reduce the watering by 70%, 70%. So these roses are incredibly easy to grow because they have such strong genetics. Now, we did not hybridize these roses. Most of these roses have been on the market for many, many, many years. We just did an extremely thorough job of testing them. So they're, in my opinion, earth kind roses are the among the very easiest of the landscape plants to grow.
I love the name too. So good job for your wife for her name of earth kind roses. Where are the rose trials held?
To be earth kind, a rose has to go through two very difficult phases of testing. The first is a 4 or 5 year hardcore scientific research study, randomized replicated blocks where we run statistics till we're cross-eyed. And we've done two of those, and they've both been in the Dallas area. And then where our soils, the pH of our soils is so alkaline, they range between 7.6 and 8.0, and they're very sticky, heavy clays. Now, the top-performing cultivars from that four-year research study, then we put in trials all around the state of Texas and in other states as well to confirm that the rose will perform as well as we saw it in Dallas. Will it perform that well in other areas of Texas and in other states? So those confirmational trials run 3 years, and again, no pesticides on the plants at all.
Do you have anything, any trials that are taking place in northern climates?
We do. this Earth Kind Rose team, of which I'm a member, is the greatest team with which I've ever worked, and that's saying a lot because I've worked with some really good ones over the years. But one of our key team members is Dr. David Zizek at the University of Wisconsin. And I asked him to lead the Northern Earthkind trials, and he's well into that process. And we have 7 other major universities that are paying their own funds to join us in doing Earthkind rose research, and that's very unusual to have other universities pay their own money to do research that another university is leading, but it certainly is points out the importance that other scientists place on earth kind roses. So in those trials, Dr. Zizek is looking at extremely winter hardy roses. So we hope to find roses. What we would love to do is have universities in all the major regions of the U.S. do earth kind rose testing, so they can come up with a list of earth kind roses for their own region. And that brings up a very important point. When I say roses are earth kind, that just means they're earth kind in Texas. Now we suggest them for trial plantings, emphasis on the word trial, all across the nation within their appropriate hardiness zones. But what determines, other than climate, what determines how a rose cultivar will do in other areas is based principally on which races of black spot are present in that area.
I can see where the regional testing would be so helpful. Any testing on pest tolerance? You know, we deal with Japanese beetles and aphids and mites and all those sorts of things here in the Midwest.
Well, that's an excellent point. We do not have Japanese beetles here, but we have plenty of aphids and plenty of mites. And what's interesting, and one reason we test roses so long, we want to see all the problems they're going to have so we can decide if they're worthy of being earth kind or not. We've only once in all of these years, and we've been searching for non-spray roses for 24 years in Texas. only one time did we have anything approaching a significant insect problem, and that was aphids. And I had an entomology colleague that went out, and he and his graduate student counted all the aphids on over almost 500 rose plants. And the plan was they were going to go out a month later and count them again to see if their population changed. Well, a month later, all the aphids were gone. Since we never spray any pesticides on the plants, Mother Nature had all of her defenses fully operational. And what had happened is that lady beetles came in and just took out all of the aphids. So aphids, spider mites, now we do occasionally have thrips in Texas, and in the Dallas area, we thrips are only a problem about 1 month out of 5 years, so we just don't do anything. These roses, so many of them rebloom so well that I recommend that people that 1 month that they have thrips don't worry about it. And these are landscape roses. Normally, you know, you're viewing them at least several feet away, and it just isn't that much of a problem here, anyway.
Good for the ladybugs, yeah. this year we had the hottest July on record, so has me thinking, and I'm sure others thinking, about roses for good hot climate. So what are you finding about heat tolerance?
Well, the any rose that's designated as earth kind has tremendous heat and drought tolerance. In our research, in that 4-year journal article research, we're as mean to the roses almost as it's humanly possible to be. I'm a huge fan of proper amending of the soil, but for purpose of our research, we did no amending of the soil. We watered them regularly the first growing season. The second growing season, we only watered them once a month. And in years 3 and 4, we turned the irrigation off completely. So, and last summer, then phase 2 of our research, last summer was the worst drought in this area of Texas in the last 75 years. And day after day after day of 100 degrees and no rain. It was brutal. We only watered the roses. Now, they were well established and well mulched, but we only watered them every 8 weeks.
Wow. We had 10 weeks without rain, so that was a good test.
That was the acid test, yes. Now, you know, that hammered some of them. About a third of the cultivars were really hard hit. They all survived. Now, there was plenty of dead tissue in some of them. Another third of the cultivars, they were very stressed, but hanging in there. But the upper third showed hardly any significant drought stress at all. So when they're earth kind, they have tremendous heat and drought tolerance.
I wanted to ask you just a little bit more about the trial process. I read this week about during the trial, you basically plant these roses the first year, and you don't do anything to them. You just kind of leave them in the ground, and then you actually start the trial process or the evaluation process in years 2 or 3. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, there's a reason why we don't take data the first year. We want to give any pesticides that were applied during the greenhouse production phase, we want to give those time to metabolize and break down, and we also want to give all of the cultivars a chance to reestablish their root system. And that brings up an excellent point. To be earth kind, it has to be a cultivar that A&M has designated as earth kind, and it needs to be on its own roots, not grafted. That's very, very important that it be on its own roots. Our experience, I'm told that the average life expectancy of most grafted roses in America is 7 years. The average life expectancy of an earth kind rose on its own roots is many, many times that, 20, 30, 40 years, some of them 60, 70, some of them 100 years.
That's amazing.
One of the newest Earth Tone roses is Mrs. Dudley Cross, and we refer to her as the San Antonio Rose because some of my extension colleagues in San Antonio had a big contest asking the public to help them locate the oldest roses in San Antonio. So my colleagues visited a number of old gardens, and Mrs. Dudley Cross was not the oldest, but she was certainly one of the oldest and still doing very, very well. They found one plant that was still alive of Mrs. Dudley Cross that they could document had been planted in 1898, so it was right at 100 years old.
Wow.
That is something else. Wanted to talk a little bit about, and you sort of segued into it, the various cultivars for, in particular. I know a lot of our listeners want to know the awesome program you guys are producing, data on these tried and true roses, and wanted to share with some of them, with our listeners, a little bit about some of the different types of earth kind roses that are out there. Let's start with what you guys term as a dwarf shrub. And can you tell us a little bit about that particular segment of earth kind roses?
You bet. And what A&M has contributed to rose horticulture, the world of roses anyway, is that even though I dearly love roses, we don't cut roses 1 ounce of slack. We hold them to the same very high standards that we hold any landscape shrub. And what I was trying to do was find roses that would get to a certain mature size and then stop getting any larger. And, of course, landscapes, at least in the South, and certainly in Texas, are getting smaller all the time. So we have three roses that, in my opinion, fit in the dwarf category. Their mature height is about 4 feet. And one of my absolute favorites in that group is one called Souvenir de St. Anne's, and she is a bourbon rose, gets about 4 feet tall, and she's blush pink when it's in the cool portions of your spring and fall. Her blooms will be white in the summer. But what I so love about Souvenir de St. Anne, day in and day out, she has the finest fragrance of any rose to be named Earthkind.
Wow. Now, are most of the Earthkind roses fragrant?
Some of them are, and some of them are not. In Earthkind, we look for the plant health and blooming first. We love it if they're a fragrant, but that isn't the most important thing. So some of them are. Some of them are not. Now, let me mention one other thing. These roses have incredibly strong genetics, but they're going to drop some leaves, normally from black spot. But if you have them in the proper growing conditions, as soon as it gets hot, dry, and windy, they will come roaring back all on their own with no spray. So don't worry if they drop some leaves from a black spot. They'll come back just fine.
Now, I grow, I have two shrubs of the fairy rose, which I think falls into this category. And they've been in my garden probably about 4 years, and I've never sprayed them, only applied a composted manure type fertilizer to them once a year. And they have done well, and they're planted in a very obscure place in my garden, and they have just thrived.
Yeah, they are really good, and now they have thorns on them that will certainly get your attention. But if you are experienced, if you space the plants far enough apart, and see when they're fully grown, there would be at least a foot of open space all around them for good air circulation. Good air circulation is so important to reduce black spot. So as long as you space them far enough apart, you hardly ever have to prune them. So if you hardly ever have to prune them, what difference does it make whether they have thorns or not?
Right. And these fairy roses are planted. I have a huge old, we call it swamp rose. I don't know if you're familiar with that rose or not. But it's just huge in the garden. And I planted two fairy roses within about 2 feet of that.
And they're sort of shaded by this swamp rose now, but they still continue to just grow and grow and bloom continually. So
yeah.
That's a great rose.
It is. It is.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about the smaller shrubs. I know one of those variety is Caldwell Pink, or I think some people call it Pink Pet.
Mm-hmm.
Those are some great roses as well.
They are, and our experience, Caldwell Pink is our best summer flowering rose. It's about a month later coming into bloom in the spring, but it's probably the most one of our most reliable plants for summer bloom, and I refer to it as the summer carnation rose because it blooms so well in the summer, and the bloom looks just like a pink carnation.
And about how tall would these, what we call, I guess, a small shrub be?
They're going to be about 4 to 5 feet. So if you, and that's an excellent point, if you space these plants properly, you do not have to prune them every year. Normally, at least in the South, we can go 4 or 5 years without pruning them. And the only reason you'd have to prune them is if they get too big. But surprisingly, with no fertilizer and with even out any soil amendments, roses that have genetics strong enough to be earth kind, they get bigger than what the reference books indicate that they should.
Well, that's an interesting point. Let's talk a little bit about the more medium top shrub roses that are listed. There's several very nice ones here. Belinda's Dream, I know, is a prolific, very prolific rose here in Alabama. Lots of folks are growing that rose.
I love Belinda's Dream. It was the first rose to be named Earth Kind. Now, you know, it's only tolerant to black spots. So in a long, wet spring, it's going to drop 25% to 30% of its leaves, but as soon as it gets hot, dry, and windy, it comes roaring back. But it has a bloom more like a hybrid tea, and it, you know, if you have a rose that has a petal count of 30, meaning on average 30 petals per bloom, that's a big deal. Well, Belinda's Dream has a petal count of 114. And you'll get some blooms, not near all of them, but you get some blooms in the spring and the fall that are 4 inches across. It is a magnificent bloom.
Yeah, that's a big bloom for. What about Elsie? Is it Elsie Paulson?
Uh-huh, Elsie Paulson. Now she's right on the borderline of getting more black spot than I'm happy with. So she really needs to have excellent air movement, but it's a single rose, meaning a single row of petals, but she blooms very, very heavily, and she holds the petals almost vertically, so at Christmas time you see a cyclamen pot plants that hold their petals vertically. Elsie Paulson in full bloom looks like about a 5 foot tall cyclamen plant, but she will drop some lower leaves from black spot regardless of what you do. But she's a tough one and really blooms.
A couple other roses I want to talk about in this particular category. One was the original knockout rose. The original red knockout is in this category.
Right, and it has performed magnificently for us. Still does, and. We're in phase two of our testing now, and there's some other knockout cultivars that are doing very well also. But knockout is at least for us, it's resistant to black spot, even under tremendous black spot pressure. Its resistance has held up for years and years and years.
Yeah, we have knockouts sort of interspersed throughout our rose garden, and when everything else has black spot, the knockouts seem to be doing fine.
Right.
It's pretty interesting. One other one I wanted to talk about is Mutabilis.
Oh,
very interesting rose.
Everybody loves Mutabilis. It's a big China rose, gets about 6 feet tall, 6 feet wide in a hurry. Each and every bloom goes through three different color phases. The day it opens, it's yellow. 24 hours later, it turns pink. 24 hours later, it turns crimson. 24 hours after that, it drops. The petals have a silken quality, and it's called a butterfly rose because when it's in bloom, it will have all three color phases normally, and it looks like a group of brightly colored butterflies have landed on the plant. People and children love Mutabilis. We want to get kids interested in growing roses, and a great way to do it is take them out and find a flower bud just starting to open on Mutabilis. At their eye level, tie a brightly colored piece of string around it so you can find it. Take them out there each day for the next 3 days, and they can watch that particular bloom change color, and they're fascinated by that.
That's incredible. I think we've got a caller on the line. Let's go to the phones and see who we have with us this morning. Good morning. You're live on Rose Chat Radio. How are you today?
Hey, good morning, Chris. It's Jim Harding.
Hey, Jim, how are you?
Doing great. Good morning, Teresa. Mr. George, just had a quick question for you. The list of future Earthkind roses, is there a list available somewhere? I was looking on your website and did not see anything.
Yes, that's an excellent question. We are very careful not to put out those lists until we have the data to back them up. Now we will be putting out a list of Earthkind Brigade. The Earthkind Brigade is where we urge people all over the U.S. to test roses that have performed very well in our research studies. So we will be putting out that list probably in the next 6 months, but we're at the end of this phase two of our research, but we need to run the statistics on that mountain of data to before we can put out that list. So
sure,
we will be doing so, and we would love to have you try them.
Well, that sounds great. Just a follow-up question. One of our favorite roses is Quietness, and was wondering if that might be on that list.
Quietness is in our research, and of course I love what all the work Dr. Buck did, and he created Quietness. I love the Buck family. They mean so much to me. And Quietness is a spectacular rose in Iowa. I've seen it growing at Ruby Buck's home, Dr. Buck's wife, but I'm sorry to say it will not tolerate the particular races of black spot that we have in Texas. So it is devastated by black spot in Texas, but it's gorgeous in Iowa.
Wow. Okay.
That's a great example, and thank you for bringing it up, great example of why we need regional testing.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you very much for your time.
You bet.
Thank you for everything that you do.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Jim. It's great to hear your voice today. Well, all right. I wanted to talk a little bit more about one more rose, then we'll move on to the climbers. Carefree Beauty, that seems to be a very popular rose. You see it in a lot of local retail centers.
Right, and it was developed by Dr. Buck, and it does well in Houston and New Orleans with no sprays. It does well in Minnesota with no sprays. And because of that, we chose that as the national control plant. So all Earthkind trials all across the U.S., the one control plant that is in all of them is Carefree Beauty. So it is incredibly easy to grow. To have such winter hardiness, it has excellent drought and heat tolerance. It is beautiful even in West Texas, in the deserts of West Texas. So it is truly an outstanding rose. And in my opinion, Dr. Griffith Buck at Iowa State is, in my view, he's the greatest rose hybridizer in American history. I just think the world of him. He was 60 years ahead of his time.
Yeah, he has definitely devoted his life to the hybridizing of roses that are tough as nails, I think the term is.
Yeah. But, he was developing earth kind roses, like I say, 60 years before we even coined the term, or at least 50 years anyway.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the climbers that are available that have been designated as earth kind. I know in the term mannerly climber, can you talk a little bit about those?
Right. There, in general, there are two sizes of climbers. The smaller ones are mannerly. They get 8, 10, 12 feet of maturity. The vigorous, they get 20 or 25 feet. So now climbers, in our experience, you do have to prune. You need to prune that older wood out. By the time they're 2 years old, after they bloom, I would prune the older, thicker wood out and leave the younger canes. Probably one of the best of the mannerly climbers is climbing pinky, and it is done really well. Most climbers, in my experience, they only have one season of heavy bloom. They're magnificent in the spring. But they'll, don't let the fact that they only bloom in one season bother you, because they will have essentially as many blooms in that concentrated period of time as the reblooming ones have over the entire growing season. And so many of the shrub type earth kind roses rebloom really well. So I certainly think there's a place for climbers in the landscape, and climbing pinky is a really good one.
Well, I can tell you, I have a climbing pinky, and it is in full bloom right now over the top of our fence. It's a
really
a young plant. Yeah, yeah.
Wow. Well, that just shows what a great gardener you are.
And you know, I don't do a thing to it. If all of the earth kind roses that we have, and you know, the knockout varieties, I don't, you know, we don't do anything to them at all. We just let them grow and do their own thing. And it has really been an awesome performer in our garden. So
super.
That is great. Let's talk now about the more vigorous climbers that are available. I think there are two that are in particular. One is New Dawn, which is an extremely popular rose here in the Deep South.
Right, and it was the first plant ever to be patented in the U.S., so it holds plant patent number one. And I tell people when you know, a fully established New Dawn in full bloom, if that didn't make your heart race, you need to get the yellow pages and look up mortuaries and call and chuck yourself in, because you're dead already if that doesn't make your heart race.
They do put on a magnificent display. Go ahead, Teresa. I'm sorry.
I've had New Dawn in my garden for 20 years, and it's absolutely spectacular. And this year, I think maybe because of the drought, I'm not sure what caused it, but it rebloomed. So we
got
to enjoy it again. Not as much as the first bloom, but it has rebloomed this year.
Yeah.
I have a friend who is a blogger and a great gardener, Carolyn, who blogs at under calliccottage.com. And she lives down in Florida, and she planted New Dawn in her garden this year. And I asked her for a report of it, and she said that it had just performed magnificently in her Florida garden. And she planted it amongst her vegetables, and they get the same treatment, she said, as the vegetables get. So it's sort of just another testimony of New Dawn Rose, of its vigor in
yeah.
the garden. I wanted to ask you about the other climber. This is it, Reb Dior?
Uh-huh. And of course, it's in the Noisette class, and it has done extremely well for us. It's nearly a thornless now. As you all know, that when I read in the literature that a rose is thornless, in my experience, that means it doesn't have many. But it's going to have some. But Reb Dior, which stands for Dream of Gold, is does very, very well for us, and it is vigorous, and it is really easy to grow. It stands the heat and humidity here very, very well.
Let's talk a little bit in the remaining time that we have about the care and planting for earth-kind roses.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear all that about how to plant them.
How to plant them, and then just the care and maintenance for an earth-kind rose.
Okay. What's so important, and thank you for bringing that up. These roses have tremendous genetics, but for we want everyone to be extremely happy with these, and for the rose to live up to all that we say it does, it has to have two things. It needs full direct sunlight for 8 hours or more each day. That is very important. And it needs good air movement over the leaves. So you don't want to put the plants too close together. And when the plants are fully grown, there needs to be at least a foot of open space all around them. It's also very important not to be sprinkler irrigating them, especially at night. Now, to achieve this 70% reduction in irrigation that we're so proud of, that they need to be drip irrigated. But drip irrigation also greatly reduces the disease pressure on the plants, because remember, black spot, as you all know, black spot can only spread when there's a thin film of moisture on the leaves for 7 hours or more. So you certainly do not want the leaves wet, especially at night, you don't. And all roses, in my experience, love really good bed preparation. So, and they really like well aerated soils. Roses will not tolerate wet feet, meaning that you don't want to water them too often, and you want lots of oxygen in the soil. So, in a sandy or loam soil, all you need to do is incorporate 3 to 6 inches of really good, fully finished compost. Now, in clay soils, they're much tougher. In an area where you have expanded shale available, we have our research has indicated expanded shale does an outstanding job of opening up and aerating clay soils. If that product is not available in your area, don't worry about it, but I would work in 6 inches of really good compost. You can open up a heavy clay with just organic matter. I've done it twice in my life. It each time it takes about 3 to 4 years. But remember, these roses have done really well in our heavy clays with no amendments at all. So when you add some compost, they're going to do even better than what we're promising that they will.
Wow, that's incredible. Now I want to talk a little bit about the availability of earth-kind roses throughout the U.S. And now, many of these varieties are available in your local home center. There's also a great resource online for getting earth-kind roses, and that's the Chambly's Rose Nursery down in Texas.
Right, and Mark Chambly, the owner, is a charter member of our earth-kind team. I have he's one of the finest gentlemen I've ever met, and he is a tremendous rose grower. And then the Antique Rose Emporium, it's also located in Texas, has I think almost all of the earth-kind roses, and both of those companies offer them on their own roots, which is very important.
Well, that's a good thing to know. So Chambly's Rose Nursery and the Antique Rose Emporium are two great sources online for earth-kind roses. And ask your independent garden center in your area, if you're interested in growing earth-kind roses, ask them to carry them.
You bet.
Dr. George, I want to thank you so much for being on today's show. It's just been a wealth of information today, and it was great to meet you. And I hope you'll come back and talk to us some more as new research emerges and new cultivars come on this list.
I would love to, and thank you. Thank you very much for having me. And you all are doing great work. Everyone loves roses, and you're helping them to be very successful in that regard.
Well, thank you so much. We appreciate you being on today.
All right. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
We want to thank you, our listeners, for joining us today for Rose Chat Radio. You know, we'd love to hear from you, so contact us anytime on Twitter by including the Rose Chat hashtag in your tweet, or search us out on Facebook or via email at grow@rosechat.info. Chris and I are both proud members of the American Rose Society. Did you know that the American Rose Society has been providing advice and support for home gardeners for over 100 years? We think membership is a decision you won't regret.
Since 1999, Rose Mania has been your one-stop source for all your rose care needs. From chemicals and safety equipment to garden tools and fertilizers, Rose Mania offers the top products at some of the best prices around. They even sell bare root roses. Rose Mania carries a full line of products to help battle fungal diseases, insects, and mites while not harming the beneficial insects you want in your garden. Shipping is free on merchandise orders over $25. Their staff of consulting rosarians is available to answer your rose questions, so visit them today at rosemania.com.
Thanks for listening to the Rose Chat Podcast with Chris Van Cleve and Teresa Byington. Hear previous podcasts via our website, rosechatradio.com, or listen to this podcast via iTunes and Stitcher apps. Be sure and give us a 5-star rating and share this show with your social networks. Your friends will thank you. Join us next time for another edition of The Rose Chat. Rose Chat is a production of the Rose Chat Media Group, Birmingham, Alabama.